Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, hour two. I just crushed some corn nuts. It was great. Live in L.A., it's The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio. Fox Sports Radio and FS1. So, this segment's amazing. Justin Fields looked really good. Rookie quarterback, Ohio State. Everybody in Chicago wants him to start.
Yes.
And my takeaway is, maybe it's because I have kids, but when I teach them how to drive, I don't throw them on the 405 until they're ready. UFC doesn't throw your first fight against Conor McGregor, some great fighter. I think you should, you know, do what Kansas City did with Mahomes, or, you know, what teams try to do, which give you, you know, let you watch a little bit, sprinkle in some preseason, sit, maybe a little backup stuff. That's my take on it. I think you can get damaged physically. You can get, you know, I think it's hard. Now, there's some teams like Jacksonville. They just got to start a guy. You know, the Jets, they're all in on Zach Wilson. All right. I mean, that happens too. It's not ideal, but that happens too. But it's interesting. So the knock, and I'm not here to defend Andy Dalton. I've never been a big Andy Dalton. You know, when he was called the Red Rifle, I nicknamed him the Beige Water Pistol. I'm like, he's not a nickname guy. Give me a break. I'm not even saying GOAT. Red Rifle was a little much for a checkdown guy a lot of the times. But Andy's got talent. I'll give you an example. So Andy last year played 9 games for the Cowboys. So let's just go look at his last 9 games. For the record, no preseason. Okay. No, you saw how Brady struggled with no preseason. No preseason. He goes to a new team, new playbook, new coach, new everything, goes to Dallas. And by the way, Dak gets hurt, so he just gets injected into the season. So here's his last 9 starts in the NFL, Andy Dalton, who you guys are all throwing shade at. He completes 65% of his throws, 14 touchdown, 8 picks, and a passer rating at 87. So let's play the blind resume game. Let's go to the last 9 starts of this other quarterback on the right, who's got almost identical statistics, a slightly higher passer rating. Who would that quarterback be in his last 9 starts? Oh, Matt Ryan, who had the same coach the same offensive line, the same system, the same playbook, same quarterback. Let's do it again. Look at Andy Dalton's numbers. Let's see. Last nine games. Let's throw a... Boy, that person has almost a little higher passer rating. Who would that quarterback be? Let's see who that quarterback is. Oh, it's Derek Carr. Isn't that funny? Derek Carr also had the same coach, the same offensive line, the same tight end, the same receivers, the same backs. Andy Dalton didn't. And in fact, I'm going to make the game even a little more interesting. Andy had a concussion and COVID last year and no preseason. So is it reasonable to say, let's take away his first couple games? He did have a concussion, COVID. Let's just go his last seven games. Because it's fair to say that it took him a while to kind of get his feet under him. You know, he had a concussion and COVID, a new coach. And by the way, not necessarily a great coach, whatever. Last seven games, Andy is 4-3, 13 TDs, 5 picks, completes 66% of his throw. His passer rating is 95. So whose numbers are pretty darn comparable? Oh, Baker Mayfield, who had the best offensive line and the NFL coach of the year in Kevin Stefanski. Baker's got fewer touchdown passes, a lower completion percentage, but a higher passer rating. But pretty close. Let's play the game one more time. Just last seven games. Last seven games. So this quarterback throws for less yards per game than Andy Dalton did. Completion percentage the same. Passer rating mostly the same. TD interception very close. Who would that be? Oh, Russell Wilson. You guys got to slow down a little on the beige water pistol, okay? I'm not the biggest Andy Dalton fan. But if you look at the nonsense that kid was thrown into last year, concussion, COVID. Now, is Justin Fields athletically better? Of course. Is Justin Fields the future? Of course. But first of all, playing quarterback, I can't think of anything in sports. I mean, the only thing that even compares is hitting a baseball. What's this hard? And so, you know, I think sometimes we looked at Andy Dalton last year and we just roll our eyes. Considering what he went through, I mean, look how bad Cam was and he got COVID. And Cam didn't have a concussion. And Cam had Belichick and Cam struggled. Cam was a former MVP. So Andy Dalton, if you look at his career, has always been about as good as what he's surrounded with. So if David Montgomery is healthy and Allen Robinson is healthy and Cole Kmet keeps getting good and the offensive line is at least stable, starting Andy Dalton for a couple of games is okay. If Justin Fields starts game one, that's fine. It's not worth screaming and yelling over, but this happens all the time. This quarterback's great. This guy's a stiff. Andy Dalton, when he has time to throw last year in Dallas, when he had time to throw at the end of the year, after the concussion, after COVID, wasn't terrible. Their defense was. And he wasn't terrible. Not as good as Dak, but he wasn't terrible. Matt Nagy's talking about, you know, Dalton starting week one and Justin Fields and Nick Foles is three. Talked about it yesterday.
It was pretty clear that this was not a traditional open quarterback competition. Andy was the starter. Justin was going to be his backup. Is that still the case, or has Justin worked his way into a spot where he could realistically be your week one starter?
Yeah, it is the case. And I think for us to focus on, you know, the day by day and just kind of everything that goes into it, the only thing that those guys care about right now is just being great at that position. And I think if you ask all three of them, that's what they're trying to do. And then I'll always go back to just making sure that we all, when we evaluate those guys at that position, we're evaluating the entire package.
So, you know, I think we forget sometimes, and the quarterback position now is different than it was 20 years ago, but we've gotten really, really impatient. And I think some of that is fair because kids are just developed much more today than they were 20 years ago. But, you know, you go back to the Manning brothers, Peyton and Eli, you know, year four, it was choppy. Peyton threw a lot of picks in year four, and Eli really didn't click until year four. Now, it is a different time. We expect our quarterbacks to do more. But just to make the NFL, just to make the league at quarterback, Andy Dalton's made the playoffs. Andy Dalton last year in his last seven starts was not terrible. It's not the end of the world if the Bears coaches say, we're going to give Andy the start against the Rams. We're not saying he's better. He's just better today against the Rams. You know? Edgerrin James is now a Hall of Fame football player. Years ago, I was talking to Bill Polian, Hall of Fame executive. And I said, who is the best football player that you ever drafted? And he did not say Peyton Manning. He said, Edgerrin James is the most talented football player I think I've ever seen. And I'm like, I know he's great. And he's like, Edgerrin James could have not only started, but starred in multiple positions in the NFL. And many of you remember Edgerrin's speech a couple of weeks ago at the Hall of Fame. I thought he had the most memorable line, and here it is.
My career started with gold teeth and ended with this gold jacket. Good night and God bless.
And Edgerrin James, the Hall of Famer, certainly deserving an all-time greats, joining us live now. You know, Edgerrin, it's funny. You got such an incredible response. Of all the Hall of Famers, everybody's like, I love Edgerrin James. And, you know, it's funny, Edgerrin, because you were so authentic and so raw and so real about it. Are you a little surprised by how people just loved your presentation there?
I'm not really surprised. I think more people love real, authentic, and so many people have been just kind of BS for so long that when something real comes across, they feel it. You feel something that's real.
Yeah. When you look around the NFL today, to a large degree, we don't give running backs the credit. When I was a kid growing up, 70s, 80s, 90s, if your running back was your best player, you were a Super Bowl contender. But for some reason now, we've kind of minimized or marginalized running backs. And how does that land for you when you watch, it's such a quarterback league, now it's a wide receiver league, now tight ends get loved. Do you think the NFL, how do you view how they view running backs today?
I don't think the running backs get the credit they're supposed to, because the running back, you know, it actually deals with every position on the field. You know, you have to be the toughest. It's the toughest position to actually play. And that goes with saying that it's usually the shortest careers, because it's so tough to be a running back. You have to understand every phase of the game, you know, and you have to deal with every player and every position on the football field. So a lot of times people really don't really value it because it's turned into a passing league. But if you have a good, solid running back, I know the quarterbacks appreciate it, and the ones that understand the value of the running back, you know, they appreciate them also.
You could have been a wide receiver in the NFL when you were a kid. Why did you choose running back?
Running back, it was natural for me, and you get a chance to put the ball in your hands more. And it's one of those things where you just got to be tough. As a running back, you have to be tough. As a receiver, you may get 3-4 looks, 5 looks. You know, as a running back, you're involved in every aspect of the game, and I like to be involved. And that was the position that it fit my style, my whole demeanor.
You were a guy that had to block for Peyton Manning. You did that well. You were a great pass catcher. You had tremendous hands. Did Peyton make it clear to you during your career? Did he let you know how valuable you were to him?
Yeah, me and Peyton, we had a great relationship, and we still have a great relationship. And that relationship just built because, you know, it built on trust, you know, and once you start learning the game, and he knows that I always had his back. I always had his back no matter what. So I had to make sure that I understood the pass protection, the blocking scheme. So because I'm the last line of defense to make things go. And over the years, you know, we would also get together and go over these things to make sure that, you know, if it's something that's coming on, there's something that's going on that everybody else may not be aware of, you know, I'm able to stay back there and help. If a lineman is going against a certain defender, I'm able to, you know, keep my eye on those things. And with that being said, you know, it makes the quarterback a lot more comfortable.
When you were playing in the league, I ask players this all the time, that a team drafts 7 or 8 new guys and then they bring in, you know, 10 undrafted free agents. How long did it take you when you were with the Colts and dominating and the Cardinals that you would see the new draft picks and you'd watch them at practice, Edgerrin? And how long did it take you to know that dude can play or that dude can't play? Does it take very long?
Nah, you instantly see it. You know, you a lot of times the thing that's confusing is when you come into the league, they have so much going on, and they have the talent, but they don't have the commitment. So you kind of judge them based on, okay, like, I think he has potential, but I think he got potential to mess it up also. You know, if he works, you know, it's like if he works hard, he could be around a long time. You know, but if he gets caught up in the lifestyle, he gets caught up in everything else that has nothing to do with football, his career is going to be short. So I think you start judging it like that because you see players and you put them in categories. You know, as far as talent, you see some guys that are very talented, but you say, oh, they just don't work hard enough. And you say, that's not going to last, you know. Then you see some guys that they may not have as much talent, but you say, oh, they're going to be around, or they're going to end up being a coach or something involved in this league.
Speaking of coaches, you went from Mora to Tony Dungy. There's a bunch of new coaches in the NFL. There's seven new ones. Every year, Ed Geron, there's seven or eight new coaches. How long did it take you to realize that Dungy was the right guy? Like a player, could you tell instantly, or did it take a while?
Instantly, you knew. But, you know, I'm coming from the University of Miami, and Warren Sapp, one of my close friends. So soon as the deal was signed, you get a call from Sapp saying, hey, you're gonna love Dungy. And that's all you got, that's all you need, especially if Sapp gets behind something, you know it's real. So that was one of the things that it held true, you know, because as soon as we got together, Dungy was, it's like you're playing for somebody that, and you knew he played the game, but he understood everything that goes on outside the game also. And I think that's where a lot of coaches struggle. You know, they keep everything just strictly football, and it's more to football in players' lives. And Coach Dungy always made it clear that he understood that people had lives to live and had families.
You know, you said a lot of guys get trapped by the lifestyle. Why didn't you?
Because, you know, it comes down to discipline. I think discipline, and I came in with a purpose. You know, I understood my purpose. I didn't come to just be in the NFL. You know, I came with a true purpose. And as far as getting caught up in the lifestyle, if you don't get caught up at the University of Miami down here, most likely you're not going to get caught up.
Yeah, that's a lot more to do in Miami than Indianapolis. By the way, I can't figure this out. College football was better when the Miami Hurricanes were great. Explain to me why they can't get it right. What's going on?
I think the problem is everybody's come down here and they're taking our players. That's the hardest part. You know, they're doing a hell of a job recruiting our players, and that's where it starts from. Because you look at youth football, we have the best youth football, if not one of the best youth football programs in the state. I mean, in the country, and that's where it starts from, the youth football players. And then it transitions to high school football players. And we just haven't been able to keep them home, you know, because Alabama has come down here and gotten our players. Georgia has come, gotten our players. Clemson has come, gotten our players. You look at all the top teams. They made it a point of emphasis to come to South Florida. And now that we're starting to keep some of the homegrown talent, you're going to see the same thing that happened on the youth football and the high school football start happening in college. And I think we're heading in the right direction now.
Final question. When you were playing in some of the greatest NFL games ever, Brady against Peyton Manning, did you understand in the moment, Ed Geron, that these are all-time games, that you may have been watching two of the four most talented quarterbacks of all time? Did you know in the moment, God, this is historic, that these guys, there may not ever be better than these two?
No, I think in the moment, you're in the moment. You know, you're living in the moment. You're enjoying the game. You're playing the game. You're trying to win. But when you look back on it, and now you appreciate being part of that. You know, you get a chance to watch everybody grow, watch everybody turn into what everybody's seeing they become now. You know, you was a part of that process. But I don't think nobody in the midst of it realized it. You know, because when we started, you know, we was doing the two-minute offense first, and next thing we know, the Patriots doing the two-minute offense full game, and everybody just going back and forth competing.
Yeah. Edgerrin, Hall of Famer, great seeing you, a credit to the game, one of the great players in league history. Happy for you and all your success, and congrats on wearing the gold jacket.
All right, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, one of the all-time great football players. Bill Polian knows talent and said, that guy's one of the only guys ever could have started and starred at multiple positions in the NFL.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
After an intensely personal face-to-face, what does John Cena have planned for the head of the table, Roman Reigns, the night before they clash for the championship at SummerSlam? The Summer of Cena continues. It's an all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on Fox.
John Cena's on our show this week.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I think he's on, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday. You ever gone to his Twitter account? He's like Mr. Positive. He's a very positive guy. That's why I like him.
Yes, he has a very, very positive brand.
Yeah, very, not religious, but spiritual, mm-hmm. Very much about be a better person, you know, eat your vegetables. We need more John.
Vegetables are important.
We need more John Cena's out there and less people just out there screaming and yelling. By the way, Brett Favre, who I disagree with often, came out today and said kids should not be tackling in football until they're 14. And it was like, yes, that's right, of course.
I agree.
Yeah. There's no reason to, I mean, good God, there's guys in the NFL that didn't play high school football at all. That didn't play.
My brother didn't play until his junior year of high school.
Yeah. There's no value. Kids' brains are
you
forming.
They shouldn't. You can learn the game by playing flag football.
Let me tell you something. Football may be the only sport. You don't have to play much of it to be good at it because you could play basketball and it would help you with football in terms of catching the ball. I mean, basketball is like you have to be a real athlete. Dribble the ball without watching it.
Well, it's also very, like, it's very hard to start becoming good at basketball at a young age. Like, you don't have the hand-eye coordination. The
right.
Hoop is obviously very high. Like, that's a different sport. I also think the danger of having kids play football at such a young age is they don't really have control of their bodies.
That's
they
right.
don't know how to tackle yet. I mean, I used to cover youth football in South Florida. It's the worst feeling in the world when a kid gets knocked out.
At nine.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
And before you guys start freaking out, they're not going to start making them wear dresses and like,
okay,
you know, just.
The guy that's wrong on football issues is wrong on all of them.
Just
like,
calm down.
He's the guy that's like, we should still be hitting him in the head and we should hit, kids should hit when they're seven. Tebow's being railroaded. Like guy that football guy that's wrong on issues. He's like wrong on all of them. And I'm sure today his reaction to Brett Favre is kids should be banging heads at eight. No, their brain doesn't fully form until 24. Let's wait until
it's just,
14.
It's just not necessary.
Of course it's not.
So Ben Roethlisberger is clearly nearing the end of his career as he enters into his 18th year in the league. There's been some questions about his ability to keep playing at an elite level this season, but former Steeler Rod Woodson doesn't think Ben should pay any attention to those that are doubting him. He said Ben doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. If anything, he has to prove it to himself. Ben has played so well throughout his career in Pittsburgh, he's always going to be compared to the younger Ben. That's a good thing because he was a baller and he's still a very good player. I know in his head as a competitor, he's going to prove it to himself that he can still play at a high level.
All right. Well,
I don't think Ben has anything to prove as far as what he was in this league, what he's accomplished in this league, the level
of
player that he is. Yeah. I mean, he's a two-time Super Bowl champ. He has seventh all-time in passing yards, eighth all-time in passing touchdowns, 156, 74, and one career record, 13-9 in the postseason. Ben Roethlisberger has been a dominant top quarterback in the NFL for a very long time. Things come to an end, and that's fine. I also don't think it's very fair, even though we are seeing guys play later in their careers. Tom Brady, Russell Wilson is talking about wanting to play for a very long time. Aaron Rodgers might play for a very long time, and I do think that that is a trend we're going to see more of. But I don't think it's fair to now put that kind of expectation on every single player. Everybody is not built the same. Everyone doesn't have the same injury history. And for guys like Ben Roethlisberger's age, they didn't come into the league or practice throughout their career with the same mentality that you're seeing with a Russell Wilson, that you're seeing with a LeBron James, the type of like Derek Carr talking about how now he feels better because he's changed his diet and how he trains. And they didn't. That's a very recent development that guys are training and eating that way and practicing that way.
Well, like, and Big Ben was old school when he was 18. Like, he's an old school baller. Like, off seasons, I'm going to go camping, drink some beers, hang out with my family.
And we know the wear and tear that you put on yourself as a young person. Eventually, you have to pay for that later on if you don't correct at some point. So I don't think that Ben is going to be a disaster this year. And I don't think, actually, that the evaluation of him last year was completely fair because they were asking him to do too much. Like, it wasn't reasonable to ask any quarterback, especially a quarterback of his age and experience, to have to throw the ball 50 times. You have to have a balanced offense. You have to have a running game.
That's fair.
So, you know, his career is what it is. And nothing that happens this year is going to affect his legacy and what he is.
I
think he wants to go out on a high note, as he should. But he doesn't have to prove anything to anybody as far as his career goes.
Right.
So Jamal Adams is still at odds with the Seahawks over his next contract, and the team is prepared to take a year-by-year approach if the two sides can't come to an agreement. Seattle is reportedly planning to let Adams play out the final year of his rookie contract and then use the franchise tag on him in 2022 and 2023 if he doesn't sign an extension. But if that happens, Adams is expected to challenge his label as a safety and argue that he should be classified as a linebacker instead. because there's a significant amount of difference in money in 2021. The franchise tag for a safety, $10.6 million, linebacker, $14.8 million.
Yeah.
And it's projected to go up to $17.9 million for a linebacker and $13.5 million for a safety. So if he can make that change, that is a significant amount of difference in money if they can't come to an extension agreement. There's also been no progress on Dwayne Brown's new deal. They reportedly want to wait until after the 2021 season to address his contract. So GM John Snyder said there's nothing new to report on either of these deals, but these are two very significant contributors to the success of the Seahawks, so they don't have to figure it out.
Pete Carroll wanted Jamal Adams, gave up a ton to get him. Jamal had been a player who had talked about getting paid early in his rookie deal. So you have to, you know, when you inherit that, you kind of have to have a little understanding. It could go that way. So Dwayne Brown is just, I'd get it done. But and again, Seattle has been overly willing to give up draft picks, get stars, pay him big money. And this is the dilemma that you get in. So Seattle's created a little bit of this.
Yeah.
With Jamal Adams, and we said it when it happened. We're not, you know, backseat driving here. They
gave up that much money, you're going to have to pay him.
Two first and a third.
That much in draft picks, you have to pay him.
Yeah. Pete Carroll wanted it. They didn't have a pass rush. He's a playmaker. But there were some, you know, Jamal wanted to get paid in New York. So when he came to Seattle, part of it was, I'm going to break the bank.
And he deserves to. Yeah, he's of that pedigree. He does deserve to get paid, but you have to make all the money work. If they can franchise tag him, that could end up being a bigger check that you have to write down the road, because he's still going to want to get paid and get that long contract. But I think you have to figure it out with Dwayne Brown, because if he's not out there, it's going to be a problem. So the Tim Tebow experiment in Jacksonville is over.
Yep.
He'd been trying to make the NFL as a tight end, but the Jaguars cut Tebow today following pretty lackluster performance in the team's first preseason game. This morning, he tweeted, "Thankful for the highs and even the lows, the opportunities and the setbacks. I've never wanted to make decisions out of fear of failure, and I'm grateful for the chance to have pursued a dream. Thank you to the Jaguars organization and everyone who has supported me in this journey. And we know that God works all things together for good."
People calling, give it a rest. And I would say, maybe Tebow should give it a rest too. I won't talk about him if he doesn't try to make an NFL team 8 years after being out of the league. Everybody wants the criticism of Tebow to go away, whereas I would say maybe it's time for Tebow to go and do other stuff, because we're going to talk about him if he comes back, because his merchandise sales indicate that lots of people want to talk about him.
Right.
So you guys need to give it up. No, Tim needs to give up trying to be a pro athlete, which he's not, but he's a really good person and deserves a great life and has built a great life for himself. I think he's getting married or is married.
Yeah,
he's a great guy. He's got a great life. But stop telling people to give it up when he won't. We talk about what's interesting, and to a large segment of the population, Tebow's discussion is interesting.
Oh, I mean, this is the whole the reason we're talking about him right now is because he's interesting. He just got cut. Are we talking about any other player in the NFL that got cut in the first round of cuts? No, it's Tim Tebow. I would have advised him, if I was his friend, to not participate in this activity.
I thought it looked silly.
I was all for the baseball situation. If you can make a Major League Baseball team after being a professional football player for whatever his short amount of career in the NFL was, good for you. He's going to have to prove it. It's going to be a little bit of a gimmick, which they admitted it was. Like, you're getting some attention to your minor league team. And, you know, if you can, that's hard to do, is play in the minor league. So it's not like it was nothing. He has had some success as a professional athlete. If you make it to the league at all, that is a success for a lot of people. But this idea that he's just like, he's always just going to overcome, like, you're not overcoming anything. This is not a rags to riches story. This is I know a guy and I'm giving you an opportunity because I know you and I like you and care about you, but it's not fair. And people don't like that. So when your brand is God and love and happiness and hugs, and you're coming out in a situation where you've not played for 8 years, you've never played this position, you're taking an opportunity away from somebody does deserve it.
Well, it felt like he got an opportunity nobody else would have gotten, and so people don't like that.
It's 100% he got an opportunity that nobody else would give him. And no, people do not like that. And then when you try and like coddle the situation, like, oh, people are just mad at him about God. Russell Wilson talks about God every day.
And nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
No one cares what your religion is. No one cares who you worship. Nobody cares. It's not about that. It's about the fact that you are taking an opportunity away from somebody else who has worked very hard, and maybe they're not good either, but they've dedicated themselves to that. You're just walking in like, hey, let me try this today. And that I think that hurts your brand if you're all about all those other things.
I think Tim could use just a scoop full of self-awareness. Just a little tiny teaspoon of it.
That's all I'm saying.
A little bit.
I don't blame people for trying, but you have to be self-aware. You have to be aware of how this is going to look from people. And it's okay to be polarizing, but you don't want people to root for you to fail. And it kind of became that sort of a situation. So I think it was very, as Schlera said earlier, I thought it was a good move by Urban. It was a credibility move by him. We all watched the same thing. Like, okay, this is not working. Let's talk about winning and like moving this organization forward with legitimate players.
Good stuff, Trevor, the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
News. By the way, the Houston Rockets drafted a kid named Jalen Green. Jalen Green said, I wanted to be the number one pick, but I did not want to go to Detroit. And some people are pushing back and are thinking, you know, you should just be happy where you go. And I've said this before, in pro sports, where you land matters. Not only have the Pistons been bad for the last 13 years, they've had 8 coaches and 4 GMs, Cleveland Browns like in the 90s. Houston's last 13 years, a lot of wins, a lot of playoffs, a lot of points, a lot of stars, a lot of games, 8 straight playoff appearances for Houston prior to last year. Houston is where stars historically have gone in free agency. Players like playing in Houston. Houston has good capitalization. They're well capitalized as a team. They are rebuilding now, which everybody has a right to rebuild. Lakers went through a 5-year rebuild. Rockets certainly deserve 3 or 4 years to rebuild. But I've said this before. Let's keep it 100. Detroit's last 3 playoff appearances swept 3 times. They have not been a viable franchise for a decade and a half. In fact, when you say Pistons, the thing most of us have been thinking in the last couple of weeks is the Malice in the Palace, a fight. So it's a bad franchise. It's not terribly well run. Maybe the new guys running it are good, but I don't blame Jalen Green. Simply Safe, been making people feel safe at home for 15 years. Get 20% off your first year. Go to simplysafecolin.com. First month free, simplysafecolin.com.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season 1, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season 2 because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Marcus by Goldman Sachs, get a personal loan, a fixed rate with no fees ever. Go to marcus.com. No fee personal loans. Tebow stuff today. Urban Meyer just talked about Tebow. Somebody asked, do we have that bite? Do we?
Is this the end of the road for Tim? NFL, professional football?
I would guess it is. You know, we didn't get that deep with it. Obviously, he's his own man. Elite warrior, elite competitor. But he's also 34 years old.
That was kind of harsh. He's an old man, obviously.
What are you trying to say, Urban? I'm 34.
NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter, Tom E. Curran. Great Patriot reporter. Been in Boston for years. NBC Tom Curran joins us live. All right, so back and forth. Who the starting quarterback? I said the other day, I said you could make an argument for both. I could argue they don't have playmakers. Cam's a playmaker. He'd help. I could argue they're not talented enough offensively to overcome mistakes. And Mac Jones can accurate, march him down the field, stay out of the way. Your gut feeling this morning on who starts, Tom?
Eventually, it's going to be Mac Jones, and there is a shot that he'll be the guy under center on September 12th when they open up against the Dolphins. It's just day after day, Colin. I had said this has to be probably a knockout win by Mac Jones to earn the starting job. That meant Cam had to play worse, and Mac had to pick it up really, really well. Well, Mac has picked it up really well, and the way that he's performing on a day-in, day-out basis, and everything isn't perfect, but on a day-in, day-out basis, Colin, it looks more like it did when Tom Brady was operating it. And the interesting thing is, Cam hasn't been horrendous. He's way better than last year, and the weapons are better, but he just is the same guy he's been in terms of throwing the ball.
Yeah, he's kind of erratic. I mean, let's be honest. He last several years, the mechanics, he was never great mechanically. He did it on kind of he did it on talent, and now the lack of mechanics have caught up to him. When you watch practice, who's in these scrimmages? Who's playing with the ones? Cam or Mac?
Still Cam. Still Cam most of the time. Mac will get shared reps with the offensive line. He will be out there with the ones in terms of the better guys at the skill positions, but Mac is still the first guy up. And I think, Colin, that's very much the pecking order and succession plan that Bill Belichick would have in place. Old Navy guy, he wants it to be earned, especially by a young guy.
You know, it's interesting because in Cleveland, you got Baker Mayfield, and then kind of a poor man's Baker is Case Keenum. They literally make sense. Cam and Mac are totally different styles, and I'm like, you got to pick a lane on this stuff. Is it possible at the trading deadline they'd go out and maybe move like a Cam and get somebody else? Because Cam's not Mac. Their styles don't even work.
Well, that's a great observation, and that calls into question, okay, why is Cam here in the first place? Well, he's here because they wanted to create competition in 2020 because they thought Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer needed it. Cam wins the job. They want to go into free agency, and they can't have a vacancy at quarterback. So they say, we could get Cam back here so we can start collecting talent. They do that. Then they get the quarterback. So now it's like the shoe in your closet that doesn't have a mate. You know what I mean? It's a nice shoe, but somebody else might have the mate. So I get what you're saying. I just don't think anyone would trade for him, Colin. I mean, he thinks he's a starter. He believes himself to be a starter. It's hard enough for him if he gets beaten out here this year, I think, to swallow his pride and stay here. I don't know if they could trade him.
You know, they went and spent a lot of money in free agency, very unpatriot-like. You know, Nelson Aguilar can be a big player receiver when he's healthy. Their tight end situation was bleak. It's now got two guys that have been in the league that are talented. But Buffalo's better. Miami is very crisp. The Jets have a very competent GM and now have a defensive line that's as good as any in the division. In Boston, if you were to take a poll of 100 Patriot fans, what are realistic expectations now in a much better AFC East?
Well, that's a good question. I think among Patriots fans, and I actually, you know, I'm not a Patriots fan. I just watched the team and, you know, been observing it for a long time. I think I'm in lockstep with them. This is going to be an 11 or 12 win team. What do I base that on? They went 7-9 with one of the worst rosters in the NFL last year. That was probably a 3-win team, roster-wise. No tight ends, no wideouts. So, Colin, if you look at the guys they added, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, the defensive guys they're getting back off of opt-outs, and Matthew Judon and Kyle Van Noy, they're pretty loaded, man. They are pretty loaded.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mac
Jones. You're not buying it.
Well, no, it's not. You know what I said? I've been saying this. They're Miami last year, and Miami won 10 games. Now, Miami this year added some really good perimeter skill people, and New England's not there yet. But coaching and defense wins a lot of games
100%.
In a league where there's more and more young quarterbacks. So did you take anything from Thursday's game? Like preseason doesn't matter a ton. Let's go back to Thursday's game. What did you take of it from Mac that you thought was hopeful and that you would be concerned about?
That was hopeful. I think actually I'm going to deal more with how Belichick orchestrated McDaniels orchestrated the night. They made sure he got in with the ones. Then they made sure that he ran a 2-minute drill at the top of the second half because they didn't get to do it at the end of the half. They want to see everything. They have put so much on his plate, and he looked in the game the way he has looked in practices: efficient, decisive, accurate. What does he need to work on? I just don't think he's not a pop gun arm, and he's going to have a stronger arm, but throws to the sidelines that are going to have to be in there, and with some pace, he doesn't have it yet.
Conferences. Good stuff. Tom Curran, Patriots Insider. Look at, he put up a golf shirt there to cover the sun.
the rental car down here in Philly that I'm sitting in to join practices.
I love it. Good. Tom, as always, it's great seeing you.
All right, bud. Take care. Have a great rest of your summer.
All right, you too. Now, they're doing scrimmages. Eagles, Patriots are doing these shared scrimmages, which I think are great. Now, I make my NFL predictions in July, and then I get two amendments. Now, not just two teams. I will come in twice before the first game and make multiple changes. So let's just look at what I currently have and what I currently feel. So let's do the AFC first, the AFC East. Bills 12-5, Dolphins 10-7, New England 9-8, Jets 5-12. Do I think maybe 10-7 for New England? Maybe 6-12 for the Jets? Their D-line looks so good. I'll consider it, but right now I stick with it. AFC North, I feel very strongly about this. Ravens, a game better than the Browns. Steelers under 500. Bengals 6-11. Right now, you know, again, I love Cleveland's roster, but they have never been in this position before, and there's a lot of tough games on that schedule. AFC South, Carson Wentz, according to a story, will be back potentially in week one. So Colts, Titans, Jags, Texans. I may take two wins away from the Texans. I probably will eventually. AFC West, everybody's telling me I've got to give the Chargers better than one game above 500. I just don't know if I give them two wins, which everybody is telling me to do. I don't know where I have to then surrender. I just think Denver and the Raiders. But that's my right now. Kansas City wins. Chargers make the playoffs. NFC. We'll start with the NFC East. Washington, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles. Again, I don't know if Philadelphia wins four games. The Giants offensive line, obviously a weakness. Cowboys feel like a barely make it in playoff team. NFC North, I wouldn't change a thing. The Vikings look horrible. The Packers look good. I have the Bears as a wildly entertaining 7-10 team. NFC South, I think this is where I'll make one of the bigger moves. I will take one or two wins away from the Saints and give one or two to the Carolina Panthers. I think Carolina will score its way to a borderline playoff spot with Sam Darnold. Right now, the Saints taking away minimum one win, probably two. A lot of noise down there is one of my moves. And the NFC West, I will absolutely eventually take a win away from the Rams. They don't have a number one back. Cam Akers' injury to me feels substantial. I just don't know. This division's the hardest. This is one I may change everybody. I may change a win or a loss on every team in that division. I got to watch the preseason. Hour three, live in L.A. It's the Hurt.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.